It is wonderful to celebrate baptism on any day. But it's really neat for a preacher when it goes with his message. It's really just kind of works out that way. I want you to go ahead and go with me to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard, but go ahead and go there. Today, as you were going, I'll just tell you, is that the last installment of our series, Run to the Wilderness. This is week number 4. We have been looking at the wilderness journeys that people have taken, how they reacted to it, what they found there, and how God met them in the wilderness. When Hagar went to the wilderness, God spoke her name and said, "Hagar, what are you doing?" When Moses was in the wilderness, God called him by name. God met him out in the wilderness and said, "Moses, Moses." When Elijah went to the cave, into the wilderness, God said, "Elijah," called him by name. It's as if God is waiting in every wilderness experience for us. It's as if his presence is already there in anticipation of these experiences we are going to have. Today we're going to talk about Jesus' experience in the wilderness. But first I want to ask you, and this is not hypothetical, it's one of those where you don't answer. I'm just going to look at you to nod at me. Or you can answer if you want to, be vocal, that's fine, I'm fine with that. Have you ever been having a really good day? Like a really good day. Like you woke up feeling even a little rested. Like when you woke up, your problems weren't the first thing on your mind. Like when you woke up, you felt physically like you didn't, maybe you didn't even groan when you got out of bed. I'm only 42, and when my feet swing over, sometimes I hold my breath. I'm like, and I'm like, "What are you doing? This is not some kind of contortion. Just get out of bed." You ever started just, the day's just for some, there's something good about it. And you get up and you eat food and it tastes good and it's fulfilling and it's not bad for you. And you think that's a good way to start the day. And you choose maybe not to get on Facebook because it's a burning garbage dump of, that's a different sermon. But you choose not to get on Facebook because you're thinking, "I'm not going to worship at the fount of social media today. I'm just going to kind of, maybe you're feeling the presence." A really good day. And things are going well. And then literally out of nowhere, something comes. And it just in that second, all that good feeling and all those good vibes and all that, "This is a great day." You're just like, it's gone. It's over. It's done. You're suddenly like, "Slay me, for I have no purpose. Just take my life, God. There's no reason for me to be here." That ever happened to you? Yes? I'm seeing a couple of you? Okay. Christina and I had a rare opportunity to be together on a weekday. The college was off for the day or whatever, and it was a Friday, and we decided to go to a movie in the actual theater. Like, go sit in a theater together. We were even going to sit side by side. We were going to go to a movie. I mean, that just doesn't, those of you with kids, y'all should be shouting hallelujah. That just doesn't happen unless there's like 7 months of planning and then somebody always backs out and something goes wrong and one of the kids somebody gets sick and there's projectile vomiting. I didn't know about any of that. Now I know. My wife and I decided we were going to go to a morning movie because that's when you should go because they don't charge you $25 a ticket. That's a whole other aside. When did going to the movies become the least financially available option? You're just watching something on a screen and they're going to chart it. Okay, let me stop. So we decided to go to the morning movie because it's cheapity cheap. And we get up and we are feeling good and Hudson is at daycare. And we drive in the same car and we talk on the way. There's like communication and it's not about church and it's not about work. We're just talking about our lives like we're people. And we get to the mall and we people watch for a little bit together. And we go in and we watch our movie, which was not rated R or anything, by the way. I don't remember what it was, but it would, listen, don't come for me. It was fine. I didn't like leave my Christianity outside of the theater and be like, "Woohoo, I'm going to drink at this fount today." That's not what happened. We went to watch some PG movie, which was funny and it was great. I had popcorn and Junior Mints and Cherry Coke. Listen, that stuff comes out of the rock in heaven. It just pours right beside the Mountain Dew. And we are having just a phenomenal day. And I am giddy with sugar and I'm holding my wife's hand. We're holding hands. It's like we want to be together. You know what I mean? It's like we like each other. We're not just two strangers living in the same house like roomies. "Hey, roomie, slap me 5. Like we're really having this bonding moment. And we're driving home and we're thinking, what? We've got like 4 more hours before we're going to get before we have to be parents again. We can live like we are just, it's like we're no responsibility, not a care in the world. The world is ours. What should we do? And of course, we decided to go, like, I don't know, shopping or to the grocery store. You still got to do stuff, you know what I'm saying? And so we're getting ready to go, and my phone rings, and it's the nursery. All right, he's sick, he's got a bug, something has happened, he's thrown something, someone has gotten slapped. Our day might have to be cut a little bit short, but I'm going to try to talk them into providing him some discipline and letting us off the hook. That's what I'm about to do. I'm pretty good at talking folks into things. Pretty good. Sometimes if I just switch back into that twang just a little bit, just put a little bit of that George in there, I'm so sorry he did that. But listen, if y'all will just sit him down and just tell him, listen, that accent, sometimes that can soften some things, you know what I'm saying? I don't use it. Listen, it's not a weapon. But I'm saying every once in a while, when I really want something, I might just be just a little more southern than I normally am. So I'm getting ready to talk this lady into not having us come. And it's the lady who runs the thing. And she says, Mr. Spearman, I need to tell you that someone gave Hudson a cinnamon apple breakfast bar. Not a big deal, right? Not a big deal, unless you know that my son is highly allergic to egg, peanut, tree nut, soy, and dairy. And when I say highly allergic, I mean any level of peanut, he's going to have to get that shot in his leg. It was a wonderful day in that moment. And then suddenly, I am breaking all the laws, getting to Ellicott City to go find out if my son, she said, he seems to be okay, but that's not what you hear as a parent. When the person says everything is fine, he's just continued through the day, he's just had a little bit, seems to be a little breakout of his, because when he has soy, his eczema breaks out, he has a little bit of eczema, you know, and he's it's a nap time right now, I'm just finding this out, this happened 2 hours ago. Doesn't matter what the person tells you. Doesn't matter if you see your kid like on the video and he's smiling, he's going, hey, Dad, I'm fine. You're still light speeding there just so you can lay your hands on the child yourself and just be like, is everything okay? Who do I need to kill? So I just looked at Christina and she looked at me and she was like, so much for a great day. We get there, long story short, and everything is okay. We looked at the breakfast bar and there was no peanut or tree nut. There was a little bit of dairy and soy in it. He didn't throw up, which he does with dairy. He just got a little bit of breakout. He was fine. We didn't wake him up. He was in his nap. We should have woke him up and just unleashed him on that crew. But we didn't do that because when you wake my son up out of a nap, oh, man, you talk about original sin, right there. He will make you pay for it. It was a really good day. And then it went sideways for a while, and then because God is good, everything was fine. We, of course, had to go home and take a nap because we were emotionally turned inside out. I was like, well, what do you want to do? She was like, go home and sleep. I was like, me too. Let's just go home and take a nap. That's kind of what happens. It was a really good day. At the end of Matthew chapter 3, we find Jesus. You don't have to go there. I'm going to summarize it for you. I want you to stay in 4 because 4 is the important piece. We're going to read verses, 1 through like 11, I think. That's where we're going to be. End of chapter 3. This is where we see Jesus professionally begin his ministry. We don't know where he's been. The last time that we heard anything about Jesus, he was 12. He was at the age of accountability. And that's when he went with his father and his mother and all of their people. And he went to the temple and he got grilled. And if you remember that story at all, they're just blown away by the answers that he's able to give. And that he stays there and his parents leave and they come back. And he was like, where else would you look for me? I must be about my father's business. And so then we don't have anything else for about 18 years. And then John comes, John the Baptist, and he's like, prepare the way for the Lord. There's one coming after me who's the thong of whose sandal I am not. It's not okay for me to, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. And John is in the Jordan, and he's baptizing, and Jesus comes walking by, and John names him. There is the Lamb. There he is, the Son of God. And Jesus comes into the water, and he's baptized in the Jordan, and the very voice of God says, you are my son, and I am pleased with you. John says later that he saw the Spirit as a dove coming out of the heavens and lighting on Jesus and not departing. Jesus receives in himself the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well as the physical baptism of water, just like we saw today. And God himself names him and says, you are my son, and I am very pleased with you. Talk about a good day. That puts a movie with your wife to shame. It just does. That's a good day. Now go with me to chapter 4, verse 1. I'm in Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. He was having such a good day, recognized by his father, baptized in the Jewish tradition by no less than John the Baptist, who had been proclaiming his advent for a long time. Their family, by the way, proclaiming his advent for a long time. And then right after that, he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It wasn't an issue of attitude. Jesus didn't come out of the water and be like, "Now I'm gonna fix things." It wasn't pride. It wasn't an issue of attitude. It wasn't a poor choice that he made. Jesus didn't think, "Now I'm gonna go one-on-one with the devil. I'm gonna go out there and show him who's boss." It wasn't any kind of poor choice that he made. It wasn't fear that drove him there. His life wasn't in danger yet. He was just a rabbi coming out of the water. He had every right to be there. He had every right to be having this experience. It wasn't even any kind of negative outside influence. There wasn't some circumstance in his life that drove him there. There wasn't some situation that caused him to lose his way that forced him there. There wasn't some, you know, horrible boss or bad girlfriend or, you know, tough situation at home. There was nothing outside that pushed him there. He was led from the inside out into the wilderness. He had just been specifically and emphatically recognized and validated by God Almighty. That is a good day. Mark gives us the where and the when. Where was he led? Into the wilderness. Mark says, and immediately. It's like he walked out of that water and straight into the desert. You ever played Monopoly? And you pull that one card and it just says, go straight to jail. I know I'm dating myself. Nobody even plays that game anymore. There used to be things called board games, kids, because they had a board and it was a game. And in Monopoly, you could pull a card and it said, just go straight to jail. Rude. It's like he came out of that water and he got that card and says, go straight into the wilderness. Immediately, right into the wilderness. Matthew gives us the why. Matthew said, and we just read it, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. To be tempted. That's why he went. That's why the Spirit led him, specifically to be tempted by the devil. And Luke says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. That's the how of all of this story. I want you to pay specific attention to some of the words that we said, to some of what Matthew says. The temptation of Jesus didn't start after Jesus had fasted. Luke tells us that as the Spirit led him around for 40 days, the devil tempted him. Luke says that from the moment he stepped into the wilderness, the temptations began. And apparently there were every type and kind you can think of, because at the end of the passage that we read in Matthew, when it says, then the devil left him and behold, angels came and began to minister to him, Luke's gospel says, when the devil had finished every temptation. So it seems as if as soon as Jesus stepped out of that water of baptism and out of that place of recognition and validation, he went right into the wilderness and the temptations began. And I guess they were just garden variety, because it just says throughout that 40 days he was tempted, but But after the 40 days, the devil comes with three very specific temptations. And he comes with those temptations when it says specifically, Jesus became hungry. When Jesus needed something, when Jesus was at his weakest, then the devil really got specific. I think we can all understand that. It is tough when you are hungry to be anything other than a monster. Maybe not for you because y'all are normal. When I am hungry, it shows. I get hangry. It is tough for me. When I am physically tired, then I am spiritually weakened. I'm just being honest with you. Fatigue is something that the Lord and I are working on. When I'm physically fatigued, then sometimes my spiritual walk can just start to wander and start to take a dive. When I need something, when I feel like something is missing, that's when it can become really challenging for me. And it's the same with Jesus because he's a human man. He's a human being. And for 40 days, he doesn't eat anything. And it's at that point, at the 40 days, when he really begins to hunger, that the devil comes with some specific temptations. I want to talk about those temptations this morning and how the temptations of Jesus can teach us about how the enemy works out in the wilderness and how we can respond. The first thing that the enemy says is, he says this: if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. You're hungry. You're the Son of God, supposedly. Notice that big word, if. If you're the Son of God, then meet your need. If you're the Son of God, here's a couple of rocks. You and I both know this can be brioche in no time flat. Did you like that big word? I didn't say wheat or white. No, I said brioche. I had a brioche sandwich for the first time at Panera. I was like, this is a good roll. That's why I said it. Thank you very much. This can become whatever you want. This can become your flattened bread that you Jewish folks eat if you want that. It can be the bread of the Passover. It can be the good stuff that you get from Walmart. It can be the really fattening, you shouldn't read the label kind of bread because there's so much sugar in this. It can be just, if you have a need, meet it. The bread is the temptation to use the authority that we have to fulfill our own needs. And it's also a challenge. Every temptation represents the temptation and also a challenge. It's the temptation to use the authority that we have over ourselves to fulfill our own needs. And it's also a challenge to our identity. When we are out in the wilderness, isn't it interesting how you begin to wonder if you really do have a connection to God? He says, if you are the Son of God. And for us, it works this way. If you're a child of God, why is it that when you pray, nothing happens? He begins to call into question in your mind whether or not you are who you think you are, whether or not you belong to whom you think you belong. He begins to call into question your identity as a child of God. And he says, why is it that when you pray, why is it you've been praying about something for 5 years and you haven't seen anything? If God is not answering your prayer, if you are praying with everything that you've got, if you are asking with all the energy that you've got, if you are using scripture and you're out there finding these different prayers and you're praying at this from every angle that you can and he doesn't answer it, maybe you're not his child. Maybe something is wrong. Maybe there's that sin that really in your life that really is keeping you from God. Maybe somehow he's stepped away from you. The bread represents the temptation to fulfill our own needs using our own authority. Everybody in here knows that you can go and do whatever foolishness you want and no lightning bolt is going to come out of heaven because we've all done it and we're all still sitting here. You know you can get up to whatever foolishness or ridiculousness that you want to. You know that you can reconcile in your mind whatever poor decision you want to make in an effort to fulfill your own need. And you and I both know that God is not going to come down and backslap you. Because if that happened, there'd be a lot less foolishness. Although eventually, we'd figure out another way. We just would. I know this because the Israelites saw supernatural stuff in the desert for 40 years and they kept being foolish. And they kept trying to fulfill their own needs. They kept trying to be their own gods. We'll get there in a second. That's the first temptation. The second temptation is the temple. This is what it says. The devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The temple represents the temptation to doubt the promises and encouragement in the Word of God. Notice how the devil flips it. He says, if you're the Son of God, then step off, because according to your word, God won't let you get hurt, right? So test that. Test the word. When we're in the wilderness, our brains can begin to tell us, all the stuff that you're reading is not helping you. And the enemy can begin to say, oh, absolutely not. You keep reading about these promises and you keep, listen, you and I both know, Person X, you're taking this stuff. You can't take the stuff that David said. You can't take the stuff that Solomon said, wings of eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. You can't take Isaiah's stuff and just pull that out from 3,000, 4,000 years ago and be like, this is mine too. You can't do that. When Jesus said, I will not leave you or forsake you, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you, he was talking to a very specific group of Jewish boys. That's not good for you. Why do you keep taking this stuff out of the word and trying to stand on something you have no business standing on? It's the temptation to doubt the promises and the encouragement in the very word of God. And it's a challenge to our security. If God doesn't answer your prayer, what makes you think that he's going to keep bad stuff from happening to you? You're out here in the wilderness because he let it happen. You're out here in the dry, in the desert. You are thirsting to death. There's nothing to eat. You are feeling bad for yourself. And God let that happen. And you're going to keep standing on the promises of some book that was written by someone sometime after the earth cooled off enough to walk on? It's a challenge to our security. That's what the temple represents. The third temptation is the mountain. Again, the devil took him, Jesus, to a very high mountain, this is verse 8, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. All these things I will give you. I want you to notice the progression of what's happening here in these temptations and these challenges. The first was, are you really who you think you are? The second was, is the word of God really what you think it is? And the third was, you need to take responsibility for yourself. You need to take power back into your own life. You need to be in charge. There needs to be a coup d'etat on the throne of your heart. You need to boot God off and sit back down, because only you know what makes you happy. Only you can design the future for yourself that will bring you all the things that you need. That's the temptation. It's a challenge to our faithfulness, to our fidelity to God himself. That's what the mountain represents. Look at the whole picture of your life. Take a step back. Take a step back and look at the entirety of your life and how really it's a pretty negative picture. Don't go into the day by day where you see God and you experience God. Don't go to the week by week where you're in Sunday church and you feel the presence of God. Back way out and see how you experienced abuse. See how you were taken advantage of. See that time when you went through such a great depression, you didn't know if you were ever coming out of it. See how your anxiety pushes you to make bad decisions. How you wake up anxious and you go to sleep. Step way back. The devil showed him all of these kingdoms and all of their glory, but it's interesting that every kingdom, when you get into it, has bad parts. There are places, there are parts of town that you're not going to go. There's cheating and there's lying and there's destruction and people are being taken advantage of and there is murder. The devil takes him way back and says, look how beautiful these are. And Jesus knows that it's the closer you get to a kingdom, the more sin, the more destruction, the more degradation you see. But if you back way far from it, looks pretty good. Vegas looks beautiful from the air. I've been there, I know. I didn't do anything foolish. Back off me. Don't come for me. And we went to the Grand Canyon. I wanted to see the giant crack in the planet. That's why we went. It's a challenge to our fidelity to God. And I want you to notice. I want you to be real. If you haven't heard anything yet, hear this. Do you notice how Jesus answers every temptation? With Scripture. I need you to let that sink in. I need you to hear that from me in a different way. I need you to see that in the text in a different way. I need you to understand that the God who was in Jesus, the God who is Jesus, Jesus who was supernaturally connected to the Godhead, Jesus who was called from the beginning of time to give his life as the Lamb to be slain from the foundation of the world for the sin of all mankind, Jesus who could have done anything, used Scripture If you are in the wilderness and you do not have scripture in your life, you are defenseless. You have no weapons. If you are trying to walk this life, if you are trying to follow in the dust of the rabbi's feet, but you are not connected to your scripture, do not be surprised when you don't have anything to stand on when the tempter comes to you. Do not be surprised when the devil comes and begins knocking at the door of your heart with his doubt and you open the door and say, come on in and bring the whole party of doubters with you. Let's have lunch. Jesus the Christ, the rabbi, was tempted 3 specific times, but we know for 40 days and who knows how many different ways, answered the tempter himself with scripture. That's how Jesus survived his wilderness experience. Do not think for a second that in his humanity he was not tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. Do not make that mistake. If you make the mistake of thinking that at any point in time, Jesus throughout his ministry flipped the God switch in his heart, if anything that Jesus did, if anything that Jesus withstood, if anything that Jesus overcame, if any experience Jesus had, he did in his godness outside of his humanity, then you and I have no hope to follow in his footsteps. We have no hope. But if in his humanity he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, if in his humanity he made the decisions that he made, he fought the great tempter with scripture himself, then we have something to learn from this. Before Jesus ever picks up the cross and walks all the way to Golgotha to be slain, to redeem the sins of the world, before Jesus ever does the great act of redemption for the world, he redeems his own people, the Jews, by taking his own journey into the wilderness, and he returns triumphant in both obedience and submission. There were 2 reasons that he went into that wilderness. One was to be tempted in every way so that he would know in his humanity what it is like to be human in every way. Don't ever joke with yourself that somehow he had a trump card that you don't have. That he had some way of getting out of it. That he had some escape route. That all he had to do to protect himself was turn the God switch on when things got bad and then turn it back off again. Don't allow the devil to tell you that, and don't allow your mind to make you think that. Before he was ever slain for your sins, he redeemed his own people by going into the wilderness just like they did. Now his was only 40 days because he was obedient and submissive. Jesus didn't wander in circles. He didn't make a calf for himself out of jewelry. He didn't curse God and say, well, you brought us here to die. He didn't do all of those things. He was submitted to his Father, and he was obedient. That's why it only took him 40 days. And he sets the example. Jesus' journey into the wilderness sets the example for anyone and everyone who follows him into any wilderness time that you ever experience. If Jesus, with ultimate power, ultimate authority, supernaturally connected to the Godhead, can walk through the wilderness experience in his humanity and emerge victorious in obedience and submission, then so can we. You want my key point? Here it is. The wilderness is a place of victory, not defeat. When you find yourself in the wilderness, and trust and believe that this was not Jesus' only wilderness experience. Luke says, when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. We know that opportune time was the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that. Jesus could have, what he said was, if there's a way that this cup can pass from me, then God, please make it so, but if not, not my will, but yours. This was the Son of God who could, it's like the song says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Jesus could in that moment have said to his Father, enough, let's reset. If Jesus had more than one wilderness experience, I can guarantee you so will we. And if we allow ourselves to believe that the wilderness is the place where we have been defeated, then we've lost it. The wilderness is the place where you can reconnect with God in a way that strengthens you, that brings your faith into focus, that brings all of your excuses out into the open so that they can be eliminated one by one. Where you can find God when the voices in your head and all the outside circumstances and all the stuff that we connect to in order to keep us whole and keep us healthy, when all of that has been stripped away and it's just you and God, you find a different level of relationship with God. The wilderness is about victory, not defeat. But only you can choose that. I'm not trying to dehumanize anybody in here. When I find myself in the wilderness, my first thought is not, maybe one day, God, I hope. My first thought will be like, the wilderness, right on. This is a good day. I hope and pray that one day, when they call me and they said, your kid just ate something, I can just be like, God is in control, and put a smile on my face and know everything is going to be fine. And if it's not, if I go and they've had to give him the shot and we have to rush him to the hospital and we have to hope that they have to, if all of that stuff is happening, then somehow I can find a way to go to that place, to the wilderness, and go, God is here. He knows my name. And out of this will come victory. I'm not there yet. I'm just being honest with you. Once I get there, I'm going to write a book as to how I got there, and I'm going to charge you $1 million for it. Trust and believe, the world will buy that in a quick second. I'll be New York best time, New York best whatever, number one, there. I have a number one book. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're in the wilderness now. I don't know if you're just coming out of it, or I don't know if you're headed into it. But please hear me when I say to you, we have got to stop running from it, and we've got to run to it. We've got to embrace it. Because if we embrace the wilderness, then God is there. It is not the place where you have been defeated, will be defeated. You don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be scared of it. Listen, you don't have to be afraid of the devil at all. There's nothing he can do to you when you belong to the Lord. Nothing. He can come and tempt you in every way, shape, and form. And if you know your word and you stand on it, he has no choice but to flee. Jesus said, go, Satan, for it is written, serve God and serve him alone. We got to change our thinking, folks. We are the body of Christ, and we cannot let our lives look like the lives of the people out there who are just broken at every turn, who bail in every moment. As soon as the wilderness hits them, they lose it all. They lose their minds, they lose their faith, they lose their way. We are the body of Christ. We belong to the Almighty God. We are brothers and sisters with Christ. We have got to learn how we can walk into that wilderness and go, everything is going to be okay because God is here and he knows my name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for today. I thank you for the young folks who came to be baptized and for the model that they are becoming for this world. I thank you, Father, for the fact that before we ever went into any wilderness experience, you went. You went first with your people who just couldn't seem to get it right. And then you went with your son. And I find it so amazing, Father, that Jesus is the only wilderness experience that we have that you didn't call his name because you didn't have to, because he knew who he was. Jesus didn't go to meet you out there. He knew you were already there and was able to walk in faith and in strength, in obedience and submission. Father, make it so for us in Jesus' name. God, when we walk into our wilderness experiences, Father, may we find you there waiting. Maybe not with the answer we hope for, maybe not with the answer that we think we need, but God, as our excuses come out and are ground away, and as your presence increases, Father, may we see the wilderness as a place of victory in Jesus. Not the place of defeat that the enemy wants us to believe that it is. We will not be tempted by the bread. We will not be tempted to make our own way into the world because we belong to you. We are your children. We will not be tempted to doubt the promises of your word because we are going to get into your word and learn what it is that you have to say about who we are and what we can depend on. We are not going to be tempted to doubt your word. And Father, we are not going to be tempted to dethrone you, to take you off the thrones of our lives in some kind of brainless attempt to bring all the satisfaction that we think we need to ourselves by running our own lives. We will not be tempted. We will not fall for those things. We will be victorious in every wilderness experience because you are there and you know our names. I thank you, God, for this time. I thank you for these people. I pray, Father, your blessings on this church of Maranatha. I pray, Father, that you would grow her. I pray that people would continue to be drawn to her as a place where they can meet you and they can see other people walking with you. I pray, Father, that people who need faith, hope, and love will be drawn to this place. And I pray, God, that Maranatha would become a light in this community that people are drawn to with all of their sin and all of their frustration, and what they will find here is love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. I pray that, God. And may we represent you wherever we go and represent this body. Give us the strength we need, Father, the encouragement that we need to walk through the times of the wilderness. I pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today.